This is Who's Talking on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Le Maire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome, Wahoos and fellow ACC fans. Frank and Hobbo here on a dreary, overcast, dark, gloomy day.
What happened to spring?
Yeah.
I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and looking forward to a Happy New Year. And we trust 2016 will be a Happy Who year, you know.
Yes. Yes, for all of us. The whole Maloney family is hoping for a happier year.
You're in a surprisingly good mood tonight. See, when you're chipper. In a good mood, that makes me happier. You know, not that I don't have things going on in my life, but I'm, you know, a little upbeat to who's had what I called the Christmas miracle last Tuesday night. That was my birthday present. I got it about 11:15 p.m. Those back-to-back threes by Brogdon and Perantes to steal one. A game, by all rights, we probably should have lost, but we got the W.
Well, you know, the Cavaliers now have won in a variety of different ways this season. And having covered that game, I can remember driving home that night after midnight, finally getting back into Richmond, thinking hopefully they won't have too many more of these 9 o'clock tip-offs. But you know, let's face it, the Cal Golden Bears have a lot of talent, and I don't care what anybody says.
They're big, they're athletic, and, you know, they were picked,
they're long.
Picked second in the Pac-12, you know, behind Arizona. So they're a good basketball team, clearly will be an NCAA tournament team. And it doesn't get any easier with Wednesday night, the Oakland Golden Grizzlies come to town, having taken Michigan State to overtime. But who do we have on the show tonight?
We have a great show tonight. You know, originally, folks, we were planning to have Jason Williford, former John Marshall High School graduate and UVA star player and assistant coach currently. But Jason got his calendar a little cockeyed in terms of his scouting duties, and he is tied up. But we are lucky, lucky, lucky. We have Brad Soderberg, the new UVA assistant coach, subbing in, and we promise this will be a lot of fun. At the bottom of the hour, we have Chris Wright, the editor of the Saber. And Chris was with me in John Paul Jones Arena on the 22nd to watch the Virginia overtime victory over the Cal Golden Bears. And I think we saw a lot of exciting basketball, so it should be fun.
Well, yeah, as I say, that was a game. It was kind of frustrating, and the Cavs took their first lead of the game on the steal and the breakaway to Darius Thompson, where he really flushed it big time, and it looked like at that moment Virginia might be able to get the win in regulation. They were not able to do that. Ended up having to have a nice defensive play by Brogdon even to get the game to overtime, and then of course, Cal got off to the good start in overtime. You know, it's one of those statistics I would be interested in. How many times the team that scores first in overtime actually wins the game? Because, I mean, if you get off to a good start in overtime, usually that's a good sign. But Cal got up 6, but the Hoos didn't quit. They fought back and got the W based on those two big threes at the end. And not to mention the three-point play by Isaiah Wilkins when they were down 6.
The old conventional way. You know, an interesting thing watching the Cavaliers over the last 3-4 years, there's a certain calmness that emanates from the bench. And the Virginia players don't seem to get rattled even when the other team is playing lights out. And the beginning of overtime, much like the beginning of regulation, Cal acted as if they were just playing out in the backyard. They weren't missing anything. But at the same time, when you have Malcolm Brogdon, you know, when you have Anthony Gill, when you've got London Perantes, when you got players like that, there's no reason to panic. Those guys know how to get the ball in the basket.
Well, there's a poised confidence that comes from experience and it comes from success. You know, what's that, 30-30-10. even, you know, I'm not real good at math, but that's 70 wins in the last two and a third years. So that's a lot of success for the Virginia basketball team. So I think they expect to win, and it makes a difference, and it allows you to make big plays at the end.
And the Virginia crowd was vocal early and often in the game, but particularly near the end of regulation and throughout overtime. Every time Virginia made a great defensive play or the shot clock got tight on defense, they got louder and louder, and it rattled Cal. And then, obviously, when Virginia scored, it sounded like the roof of the building was taken off. And I know teams do not like it when 14,500 Wahoo fans really let loose, and they were doing it the other night.
No, JPJ has become a really, really good atmosphere and environment for the team. The fans, what has interested me over the now 7 years that Tony's been there is the reaction to defense. You know, it used to be most of the applause and loud noise came on the offensive end. Now Virginia fans really appreciate a good defensive effort, which Virginia does pretty routinely.
Well, and the interesting thing with the new rules and so forth, freedom of movement, it's very hard to play the defense that Tony Bennett has grown accustomed to and has introduced to Virginia fans. And
we got a man that can address that. Do you want to introduce Coach Brad?
Absolutely. We just got good word here that Coach Brad Soderberg is with us online. Coach, welcome to Who's Talking.
Thanks a lot. Glad to be with you guys.
Yeah, we can, Coach. We can hear you. We thank you for taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight. You're pinch hitting for your buddy Jason, who's out recruiting, I guess. The one thing, this Jim Hobgood, alongside Frank Maloney. Once upon a time, I played back at Virginia. I was one of the truly great defenders back in my day.
Back when players wore Chuck Taylors.
And we had peach baskets, you know. Yeah. But talk a little bit for our listeners of your connection to both Dick Bennett and Tony Bennett.
Well, it goes way, way back. As many of you know, I played for Tony's dad at a Division III school in Wisconsin called the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. And I knew Tony literally when he was in seventh grade, and so I've been very close to the Bennett family for a long time. In fact, I've said this many times, and I mean it very sincerely, that aside from my own parents, I have not been influenced by another person as much as Dick Bennett. So I feel a very honored to be a part of Tony's program, and just. Very grateful for all the Bennetts have done for me in my career during the 30 years that I've been a college coach.
Well, I see here in your record there, Coach, that you've been a head coach at St. Louis, at South Dakota State, and Loras College. Mm-hmm. And you've got a record of 338-204 in 19 seasons as a collegiate head coach. That's pretty impressive. So, what's it like sitting on the bench at JPJ and working with Jason Williford and Ron Sanchez and Ronnie Wideman and obviously Coach Bennett?
Well, I've had a lot of my family and friends from back in the Midwest ask me that, and I say that I'm in basketball heaven, and I'm not joking about that. I've really been very fortunate in my career to have coached at all three levels of the NCAA, both as an assistant coach and a head coach. But right now, to have the opportunity to compete in the ACC with a program that is just had unprecedented success in the last couple of years. And the fun part for me is I didn't have to do the hard work. By the time I got here, they had, you know, they'd won 60 games in back-to-back years. And really, the pressure's on me because if things go south this year, it's probably going to be my fault.
Coach, and by the way, we're listening or visiting with UVA assistant coach Brad Soderberg. Coach, does Tony have specific assignments for you? In other words, you work with the big guys, the guards, work on the defense, offense, or all of the above?
Well, I think unlike football, we don't really specialize too much. I do work with the guards when we break down in practice, but that's about the as specific as it gets. We all recruit, Ron and Jason, myself and Tony, we all share the recruiting duties. Because I've spent my entire career in the Central Time Zone, I've kind of gravitated back to the Midwest to evaluate those kids. And there's so many fine players in the central part of our country that would die to play in the ACC. And I'm trying to get my finger on the ones that would fit best for us and help us to continue the success we've had.
You know, it's exciting. You mentioned that Kyle Guy is coming next year, and he's already signed his early commitment to come to Virginia. Did you have anything to do with that recruitment? And if not, what sort of region are you looking at? What sort of states?
Well, no, I had nothing to do with Kyle Guy's signing, and I wish that I had. I think the UVA fans are going to fall in love with this kid. He is he's a dynamic player, to say the least, a great scorer, a great shooter, and really a wonderful personality. I think as our fans get to know him, they're going to really love him along with his classmates. But specific to me, like I said earlier, we recruit everywhere in the country, and I go wherever I'm asked to go. But because I've spent so much time in the Midwest, I have most of my ties there, most of my contacts. So really anywhere in that central time zone, whether it be all the way down to Texas, all the way up to the Canadian border, I've been, I've recruited that area throughout my career. And if we can find some kids that fit what we're looking for, we're certainly going to make a play for them.
Coach, let's talk a little bit about the current team. I know, obviously, 10-1 is pretty good, ranked fifth in the country, but talking to Jason this afternoon when he called and said he had to be scouting tonight and recruiting, he did mention that the defense is still not exactly where the coaches would like it to be. Is that just the change in personnel, the change in officiating, the change in the shot clock? How would you describe where the team is defensively, and how can you get it to where you want them to be?
Well, I think all of those things are possibilities, and if we had the answer to it, I think we could make some extra money on the side figuring that one out. But it's hard to know. I think that, for one thing, the standard has been so high here at UVA that the numbers we have statistically right now, 80%, 85% of Division I teams would take those numbers in a heartbeat. But because the bar has been set so high by the work that Tony and his staff in the past have done, even any variance from that makes people think that we're not where we need to be. What I do know is that I'm incredibly impressed by the amount of effort that is put into the preparation of each practice and then the execution of each practice by the players. I knew for a long time that Tony was a great coach, and you see that on game night. But what most people don't see is what he does in preparation for 1 hour and a half practice. It kind of blows me away and puts me to shame a little bit. I've learned a lot about where I could improve if I ever get a chance to be a head coach again, just by watching him prepare for practice. So I don't know if that answered your question, but I do know that we spend an inordinate amount of time talking about how can we tighten this bolt and loosen this screw or whatever has to be done to make the motor run the best. And I know that it's not for lack of effort that our defense may not be where it was a year ago.
No, well, we're clearly effort has been extraordinary. Let's shift the focus again. The Oakland Golden Grizzlies, they have a kid by the name of Cahill Felder. Knocked down 37 the other day against Michigan, 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. He probably went up to the concession stand at halftime and sold popcorn. Who draws the short straw and gets that assignment on Wednesday night to try to slow him down?
I don't think that decision's been made. I know that this scout has been assigned to Jason, and he and Tony will make that decision. I do know that multiple guys are going to have to defend him during the course of the night. For the UVA fans to get a chance to come to the game on Wednesday night, I think they're going to see a spectacular player. And this kid is he's second in the country in scoring right now, just under 27 points a game. And he averages 9 assists a game, and he's only 5'9". When you put 37 points on Michigan State, you are a player, period. And I don't know if Malcolm's going to start on him or London or Darius Thompson. I don't really know. But whoever has him, they're going to just be the first line of defense, because we're going to need to have help in both gaps throughout the night, and most importantly, get back in transition, because he's a literal jet from one end of the court to the other. And he's not the only guy they got on that team. They're averaging just under 90 points a game. So this is going to be a major test going into the ACC, as you know, we play Notre Dame on Saturday. And I don't know if this is the right way to prepare for your last game before the conference play, but it is what it is, and we're going to have to be very, very sharp to get our 11th win of the season.
You know, those other players include Tommy McCune, who's 6'8", Martez Walker, 6'4", two Iowa State transfers, Percy Gibson and Sharon Dorsey Walker, 6'9", and 6'4", each. It's not like Virginia can just box and one this kid fielder. You guys have got your hands full.
Absolutely. You hit it right on the head. And on top of that, they have a kid coming off the bench named Hooper, which is a great basketball name, of course. But here's a guy that's taken 95 shots this year, but zero of them have been from the two-point area. And in the mid-30s.
Legit. Coach, your cell phone's breaking up a little bit on us at the moment. Why don't we go to break?
We'll see if the
connection's a little better when we come back from break. So if you can hang on when we come back, we'll have a final moment or two with Coach Brad Soderberg. Stay with us. You're listening to Who's Talking.